Friends, friends, friends. I have found Mandy again this week. It's a little early in the week, but because we practice what we preach, we give each other lots of grace and we schedule things sometimes around life. And so I'm so glad that my class was canceled today
Yay.
for many reasons. I'm
Right.
glad my class was canceled today.
Man, there's nothing better than
Oh.
that feeling of class being canceled, man. It's great.
And I did feel bad for a split second because my professor, who I adore, who plays the banjo all the time in the atrium, Dr. Kendall Solon, is sick. So I felt bad when I got super excited into the jumpy claps in the middle of Cannon Chapel today, that it's canceled because he's ill. Whoops. But I'm still glad it's canceled.
Yeah, I mean that's the best feeling. I can't remember now what we were talking about last week, but my group, one of my group threads, I don't remember what we were talking. Something about it. I said, well, that just conjured up for me the feeling of, oh, I know, Birch's son James, who's at Bowles, they had a good old fashioned bomb threat last week,
Oh.
and so his classes were canceled, and he
Well,
worked
no.
that in to go into a buddy of his house. Anyway, and I said, you know what you've just conjured up for me is that feeling in the springtime when we would go sit on disgusting couches in front of the Kappa Sig house and drink a beer on a
Oh my
Friday
gosh.
afternoon. I mean,
I should have cracked one open as soon as I got home. What was I thinking?
right? That's the
I might
life,
have to have an
man.
afternoon beer tomorrow because that class got canceled as well.
Think you should.
I know, I'm so excited because next week's spring break, and so praise Jesus.
Amen.
Lord have mercy, I need it. So having a little extra is so, like, I feel like I'll survive it. Like, I think I texted you after I found out. I was like, I think I may just make it now.
Can do it. You can do it.
So anyway, so I feel like we should maybe start having a fact check section like our friends over at our other favorite podcast, which of course, because my brain is fried, Armchair
Armchair.
Experts. God, which I just listened to. Anyway,
Just
Armchair
one expert.
Experts.
Just one expert.
Just the one expert. This week was Goldie Hawn, by the way, if you haven't listened. I don't know if she still is, but I didn't realize that that woman was a four pack a dayer. But it sounds like she still is. I don't know if she still is, but I love Goldie Hawn. I love her even more now after listening to that podcast. So go listen to our favorite friends over at Armchair Expert. I was wrong on this podcast twice that I know of. I am wrong a lot in life. I mean, I own it. Especially with math equations. The two things I know I was wrong about, one, Mandy's got on her list. Jason Kelce did indeed just announce that he was retiring. Not back in the day. I think I heard that he told his team.
I would just like a medal because I knew you were wrong, and I just didn't argue with you
Well,
about it.
but he did tell his team, and I think it leaked,
He
but
did.
he
They
didn't.
just. No, they
They just
somebody
said
just
that.
came out. Somebody just came out and said that.
There we go. And then the other thing I know I was wrong about is that the Oscars were not Sunday. They're this Sunday.
Too.
I know because one of my podcasts that Mandy has suggested is called Pop Culture Happy Hour, and they are still doing episodes about the upcoming Oscars. And I was just gonna watch the dresses because I'm here for that. And I was like, where is it? And it was not on. So you have another week to watch a couple of these good movies. Don't watch the bad ones, but watch the good ones.
And I meant to follow up too. We talked a little bit, I think it was the Golden Globes, where I was like, what is happening on that red carpet? Heather McMahon has been added to E's coverage of the red carpet since, like, I don't, if she was on the Golden Globes, I didn't know it. She is what we needed. She is what we needed.
She's
She is
Georgia girl.
great. She is great.
I love her. She, okay,
she's
so
like
she,
Joan.
have you followed her at all? Do you follow her at all on the socials?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
she was in Australia when Taylor was in Australia, and she had this campaign to get Taylor Swift to notice her to get tickets.
Does anybody else, every time somebody says Australia, do you hear Oprah in your head? This is the last season of Oprah. Everybody that was at the first taping of the last season of Oprah, she says, "We're going to Australia." Just me. Okay.
I've forgotten that was, I knew they went somewhere, but I'd forgotten it was Australia.
Australia.
Every time I think of people like pronouncing things funny, I think of my grandmother that was from Toys County saying Hawaii.
Hawaii. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nainey said Hawaii. They went to Hawaii for their, when did they go to Hawaii? They went to Hawaii when, maybe before I was born. I don't know what the occasion was.
So the way I knew that she said it, Thelma, that is, was we were watching Mama's Family over at Roy and Thelma's house, and that cast took a trip, like they took the family over to Hawaii, and Mama said Hawaii and Thelma said Hawaii. I was probably 7 or something. I was young. I just remember thinking that ain't right, but
I just
let it
saw
go.
a Mama's Family clip with Tim Conway.
Oh my gosh, with the elephant.
Yes.
Oh my god, it is literally the funniest piece of television.
That man in general.
Oh my.
Just a
but
riot.
The thing that really just puts it over the edge is at the very end when Mama says, "You think that asshole's done?" or whatever she says. I literally cry laughing every time. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll find it and put it up. It's the funniest television clip I have ever seen in my life. And it's funny every time you watch it.
Tim, to everything Tim Conway did was hysterical.
Loved it.
Anyway, sorry.
So I correct to myself. The Oscars are Sunday. I still say there are too many in the Best Picture category, and I still say most of them don't deserve to be there. That hasn't changed.
Fair enough.
So the other thing I was doing was scrolling through. It had to have been the clock app. It could have been Instagram. And I wanted to ask you, Mandy, because, you know, I'm new coming back to baseball. I love baseball. I have loved baseball forever. I'm a big fan, but like these new characters I need a little help with. And I saw this compilation of, I mean, no less than like 15 times that our precious brave Ronald Acuña Jr. has been up to bat against the Marlins. And those sons of bitches, pardon me, Marlins, have hit him at bat more than, I mean, in the compilation was not his whole career. It was just against the Marlins. And I was like, where's this coming from? So I'm asking, and part of my segment, I'm asking Mandy a question because I really want to understand why we hate the Marlins for this, because I hate the Marlins for this.
I don't even remember how it started. I can't remember if they had like some, if they were just mad he showboated or something. Because they've done it for years.
Years of this.
We have previously talked about how Ronnie has matured a lot.
Correct.
And so I don't know if he had just showboated something and made him mad. But, you know, Snick, you know, Bobby Cox was famous for getting tossed.
Yes.
All the time. Former yes. Braves manager.
Yep.
Snicker does not. Snicker, that's one way he is very different from Bobby. He's just real low key.
Right.
But one time, maybe 2 years ago, maybe three, they threw, and I can't remember if they hit him in the elbow or if it was close to their face, but Snick came out of that dugout. And I'm pretty sure he got tossed out of that game. Like he was hot, wherever they had thrown at him. But yeah, no, it's totally a thing. And a lot of people, you have to pitch Ronnie high and inside if you don't want him to hit it out of the ballpark.
Okay.
And so
he gets, sometimes
they miss. So, yeah. And so he gets dusted off the plate a lot of times. But the Marlins are just like, it's definitely a thing. And I can't remember what, it wasn't a big enough incident that started it, that it's like,
right,
implanted in my brain. So I would imagine it, maybe he just showboated, or maybe it was just an accident and then
it grew into it.
It really has become a thing, as evidenced by the fact, yep, that you saw it on TikTok.
I mean, when I tell you, I looked down, I was like, this has got to be repeated. Like, you know, TikTok will automatically start the thing over. And I thought, well, I've started over at this point, and I was only halfway done.
Yeah.
And it was just the Marlins. And I'm like, okay, I'm missing something that happened.
Well,
but
and the I other
get
thing,
the part where, you know, if you don't want him to slam it out of the park, you got to pitch it close in.
But if you can't do that without hitting them, then don't do it. Sorry. The other thing is that the Marlins manager up until last year was Don Mattingly, who, you know, was a player, Mr.
Who
Baseball.
I watched.
So old school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know that that didn't have something to do with it. Like, Don Mattingly would especially have been pissed off at some showboating.
Yeah.
And so that might have played a part too.
Yeah.
So.
And
I don't
I mean,
remember
I
it
get
being
it.
A thing. I don't remember it being a thing in a game last year.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, I've talked about it on here. I did keep the book in high school, and we had a very hot head coach that I watched get thrown out of many a game. Jimmy Turner, God love him. The only time I ever remember him telling someone to hit a batter was I don't even remember who we were playing. I could guess, but I don't want to guess wrong. And the guy was sliding into second base and spiked our second baseman. And if you don't know what that is, when you slide, you're supposed to keep your feet on the ground so you'll touch the base. But he slid with his feet up in the air, and his cleat spikes went into Shane Lawson, who's now a dentist up here, went into Shane Lawson's calf muscle and really hurt him. I mean, like, he was bleeding through his uniform. And Jimmy Turner, God love him, said to the pitcher, who is now unfortunately deceased, Ren Conley, of a brain tumor, he said, okay. Because the guys were hot. Because, I mean, you know, you don't do that. I mean, they practice it intentionally so you don't hurt other players when you do it. And I just remember the look on Ren Conley's face, and Trent was like, really? I can? Like, they were so mad. But so I get that, you know, there are, especially old school, this was 20 something years ago now, but especially old school, like, if something like that happens, I can see them like brushing somebody off or did. But this thing with the Marlins is like every, has to be almost every game, or at least every series, they hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little much.
It is. It is.
Interesting. Well, thank you for answering that question, ma'am.
Sure, ma'am.
The other thing besides reading about Jesus that I've been doing is watching some Auburn basketball. We are currently ranked 13th.
Did y'all beat Tennessee last week?
What now?
Did y'all beat Tennessee last week?
We did not. It was a good game, though. We came a lot closer than I thought. So there was one point where I thought we were going to pull it off, but at the end, they just couldn't. And we're not very consistent this year. So we're good. So even in our inconsistent games, sometimes we pull out a win. But, you know, we dip off right when we really need to still be on a high. So we've got Missouri tonight at 9 o'clock, which means Katie Griffiths will not be watching.
Past your bedtime.
Katie will be in bed. And then Friday or Saturday, I can't remember, we play Georgia at home one more time. So that we handily took care of them. I don't know if you remember, I said the announcers were super pumped about every shot that Georgia made. So hopefully they'll be a little bit better this time. But then we start March Madness, y'all. I mean, it's close. We'll do the SEC tournament and all the conference tournaments first. But then March Madness starts, which I am so excited about.
Yep. Good times.
I know. And then that means what always I look at March Madness, I go, you know what? That means the Masters are coming up. They're right around the corner. So that's a great week. There's so much fun stuff to look forward to. So I'm really excited about that.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So tell me about your week, Mandy.
My week was, you know, same old, same old.
Yeah.
The Vandy boys, when you last asked, I was sort of, well, they're okay.
Yeah.
But they had a good week. Had a couple of games at home that they did well on. And then they were actually in Houston this weekend playing at Minute Maid Park in a tournament.
Yeah.
And they won the first two games. They played the Raging Cajuns.
Oh.
And then who else did they play first? Maybe Tennessee Tech. It was a smaller, not Tennessee Tech, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Okay.
It was a smaller Texas team. But then they played Texas on Sunday. And they were down, I don't know, 9-3 or 9-1. Like, they were way down
in
like the third inning. And I was like, I'm going to go listen to my book. My sister texted me. She's like, are you watching? And I was like, no, I turned it off. Girl, they came back.
Really?
And scored. Like, they came back and tied it up in the eighth. Or in the bottom. I think they maybe
bottom seven. I looked it up. I thought y'all, okay.
And then they won in the eighth, like went ahead in the eighth. And so I came back and won it. Yeah. So it was a great weekend. And we've got one of the freshmen really stepped up. He's a kid from Nebraska.
Oh,
he was the freshman. He's from Omaha. And he was the SEC freshman of the week after his performance. So
I love that.
Big stud. That was fun.
So y'all are ranked ninth, 10-3, and Auburn is 9-2 at number 19.
Let's do it.
I mean, SEC is looking pretty good. Arkansas is really high up there. LSU, Florida.
A&M's undefeated. Vandy. Are they ranked?
What now?
A&M's undefeated. Are they ranked?
A&M is 7. I mean, yeah. Alabama is unfortunately higher than we are, okay, so again, this is kind of my point I made a couple weeks ago, like Coastal Carolina is 18. I mean, you can't go by just conferences in baseball. You know,
but if you wanted to bet on one, you should bet on the SEC for baseball.
Yes. And when we get to the SEC tournament, I'll tell that story about when I used to go. But it would be fun. I think we've talked about this for years. The SEC tournament in Birmingham is one of my favorite things. Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Figure it out.
And we could run into Boo Mama while we're there.
We can call them and tell them we're coming. Live on the scene. It is really it's fun. So, yeah. So, all good things for baseball. I love that for us.
For those of you who don't follow college baseball, so the way the playoffs happen with college baseball is you have what are called regionals. And so the reason these early games matter is because there's something called your RPI. I don't even know what that stands for. But it's basically
run pitch index.
I don't know why that doesn't make sense. But it's basically your wins. And so it's not basically your wins. It's a number that incorporates your wins and your strength of schedule. And I think maybe you hear them start talking about series wins versus individual wins. But anyway, so the games now matter because that does eventually factor into your RPI, and your RPI determines your ranking at the end of the season, which determines whether or not you get to host a regional or whether you're going to somewhere else for a regional. And each regional is four teams. that play. And then you go, if you make it out of the regionals, then you go to super regionals. If you make it out of super regionals, you go to the World Series. So
the Google tells me very briefly that it's called the Rating Percentage Index. And it looks at like your in conference, out of conference, and they all factor in, but at different rates.
Yeah. Yeah. So good job.
Love it.
But anyway, so yeah, so that was good. That will be good for Vandy's RPI because Texas is a ranked team as well. And they came back and beat the stew out of them. So that was good.
Texas Tech, when you said that, it made me think, did you see the, I sent it to some friends of mine. The kid from Texas Tech that's in the NFL Combine that during his interview said that he doesn't think space exists.
Yes,
I was like, you go, Texas Tech. You educate those children. You go.
I just saw on...
They're like, other planets he thinks don't exist.
I just saw on Twitter, somebody had tweeted a clip from... I think it must have been Darren O'Day, who was a Braves reliever who has done some commentating. It sounded like, you know, maybe was in the booth and they played Detroit today in spring training. The Braves did.
Yeah.
And a guy pitching named Shane Green, who used to be with the Braves in the bullpen with Darren O'Day. And Darren says, yeah, he was on our team. And he said, really interesting guy. He came out the very first day he was here and announced that he believes in aliens. The guy in my booth just started laughing. He's like, really? On his first day? And Darren's like, oh, it got better. He went on later to tell us that he thinks that dinosaur fossils are just a cash cow for museums. They're not authentic, that museums just make them up so they can make money.
I just slow blinked. I don't know if you can tell behind my glasses.
I don't know if Shane Green went to Texas Tech or not, but perhaps.
I mean, that anthropology department could be a little wackadoo over there at Texas Tech.
You know who I saw? Jason Isbell tweeted out that clip of that kid, and he was like, "Man, you're in Lubbock. It's as flat as it gets out there. How can you not believe it?"
Okay.
I guess he believes in the flat Earth
I guess a lot of people do, and I don't understand it, but whatever.
Ooh la.
Yeah.
In other baseball news, MLB news, I think my favorite clip of the week was the Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts, break dancing.
Oh, I need to find that.
He and Mookie were out, and somebody else, I don't know who else was standing there, but they were like,
Mookie Betts.
Not in the outfield, but sort of out that way doing some kind of drill. And they had what looks like a breakdancing cardboard square. Next thing you know, Dave Roberts is on his back spinning. And Mookie is like, look out. Yeah, it was awesome.
People our age should not do that, ma'am.
He's older than we are.
Again, I say.
He's the guy who stole the base the year that the Red Sox finally won the World Series.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
He's the guy. That's Dave Roberts.
That's the guy.
Anyway, so that was fun. And then, so there's a manager named Scott Boras. And the Athletic actually did a piece a couple weeks ago about how the Braves have zero Scott Boras clients. And I think the Dodgers have, like, maybe one or two. Scott Boras is just like that agent that's like Alex Anthopoulos. He's come out and said, I won't not deal with him.
Yeah.
But they just like Scott Boras is out to get the most money for his clients. And, you know, Alex Anthopoulos is not into that.
Right.
So anyway, there are still, I think there are four spring training had started like what, 2 weeks ago?
In earnest. Yeah.
There's still like four Scott Boras clients who are not signed, including Blake Snell, who won the Cy Young Award last year for the National League. Yeah. Yeah. Not signed.
Is he going to Freddie Freeman these people?
Right. So thankfully, one of his clients was Cody Bellinger. And Cody did re-sign with the Cubs last week. We're real excited about that.
I know that
I think
name.
What's fun reading for another team is that you can root for players who you have always hated. Because let me tell you, I did not like Cody Bellinger in 2018 and 2019.
Right.
He was with the Dodgers and he busted our butts. So it's fine now to be able to root for Cody Bellinger. And thank goodness he got signed. But yeah, these Boris clients, like, these poor people, like, not only are they not playing, they don't know where they're going to live.
I would be so pissed off.
Right? And it was Lucas Giolito who went to the Red Sox, got hurt. And mm-hmm. he's a pitcher and he got hurt today or yesterday, but they announced it today. Mm-hmm. And several people were like, okay, maybe this is what Boris has been waiting for now that
maybe
he can get, because two of the four are big pitchers that aren't signed. But
I would be like, if I was their wives, I would be on the phone. I would be like squeaky wheeling the hell out of that guy.
Sign somewhere.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Ooh. So anyway, that's your professional baseball update. We were worried about Ronnie's knee. He went out to LA, but I heard today. In fact, hello, Ronnie. He's getting so good. He's starting to do all his interviews in English, which kudos to him. It's so hard. But he saw the reporter standing there, and he apparently had a bat in his hand. He started using the bat like a cane, walking up to him. And then he was like, ha-ha, and, like, started twirling it around. But, yeah, his knee, we're going to be fine, we hope. So, that's good. And then the other sports thing was Jason Kelce's retirement yesterday. And I just, like, I knew I had seen that he was having a press conference and, you know, figured that's what it was. And then, but I was not emotionally prepared
sit
there and just boo-hoo my eyes out. God love that man. And what a great example of real masculinity.
Yes.
To be willing to sit up there and show the whole range of emotions.
He did not have to do that.
I mean, ugh, God love that man.
And Travis with his little sunglasses on.
And his friendship bracelet.
I know. Like, I wondered why he was not in Singapore, because he's off. I mean, it is a long way away. So I thought, well, he went to one show, but, like, if they really want to, like, have fun out in the world, why not go travel the world together? Now's your shot. But I have a feeling he came back to help Jason maybe talk through all this, and then to be sitting there for that to happen. So,
well, obviously that's why he was there, to be there.
Yeah.
The
other thing I've seen today is that they've shown the middle.
Hold on, before we move on.
Okay.
Also, to just say, as a person who is self-employed and has flexibility, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can just go.
Well, he's a multi-bazillionaire at this point, so he can.
Not even money. The desire.
Yeah.
Just because we have a flexible schedule doesn't mean we also have a life where we live.
That's true.
That we can just up and go. Like, no, yeah. I'm just saying that as that gets
to me. Oh, well, I'm self-employed too.
That's a pressure point in my life. You know,
right.
I'm expected to just be able to
go and do
everything and do whatever.
I have heard the line more than once, and we've talked about this, but I co-sign on that because I have heard the line more than once. Well, some form of, well, you don't have any, you can, it's fine, you'll be fine, or, you know, whatever, you can do whatever because you don't have XYZ. Or
can't you do that? Can't you work from here?
Right.
That's my mom said. My mom's getting discharged from rehab this week. Woohoo! But we were talking last week at some point, maybe, and she said something about coming up there, which I am going up there, but
yeah,
she said that. And I said, well, Mom, you do know I own a business.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, but can't you just do that? Can't you? Oh, she wanted me to move to Nashville.
Yeah.
And I said, Mom, you do know I own a business. Well, can't you just own it from here? And I was like, no, I'm a lawyer in Florida. I have to be in Florida.
Yeah. We didn't think you'd mind. That's the line I've heard a lot lately.
Yeah.
We didn't think we changed everything. We know you said this and that you wanted to do this, but we didn't think you'd mind.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. Good
Heard
for
that
the
way too much lately.
Good for the self-worth, isn't it?
Well, you know. And the fact that it's usually other women. I mean, in my world right now, it's other women. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just had to point that out.
I totally co-sign on that. So thank you. After the press conference, I have started to see a lot of their middle daughter, Ellie. It's Ellie, right? Elliot. Looks just like Travis.
Yeah. Have you seen the picture where it's somebody tweeted out? It's like, obviously God hit cut and paste for Jason and Travis and Wyatt and Ellie.
Yeah, they look just alike, but just that cute little face with the little dimple. His have been covered up with a beard, but I mean, she is legitimately Travis Kelce cut and paste. It's so funny. And but he even said, I think when they went to Disney, Jason said, well, you know, Ellie's just like you, Trav. She wrote everything. She wasn't scared of nothing, but she looks like him too. So I've seen a lot more of that lately, but I thought the whole thing was great. So, especially the part him talking about her, Kylie.
Yeah. And I saw several reporters who tweeted and said, that press conference just illustrated that this athlete that I've been covering for all these years is a better writer than I am.
Well, and that's why, I mean, I know this is a huge shift in his world. Like, he's given up the thing that he's done literally since childhood. And I understand that. And it is a big, like, I'd be boohooing too. But make no mistake, Jason Kelce is going to be just fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Somebody's going to snatch him up real quick.
I was just listening to him on Chris Long's podcast. You know, Chris Long was a football player. He retired 2 or 3 years ago. I just realized that, like, within the past month, that Chris and Kyle Long are Howie Long's sons.
Yeah.
No clue. Anyway. So they were just talking about, I know, like, duh.
Yeah, I know.
They were just talking about, so he had Bo Allen, and I think Bo Allen must host Chris Long's podcast with him. And Bo is the one that carried Jason out of the bar the night he met Kylie and passed out on the bar drunk. And so Chris and Bo are both retired. And so they were talking about that, like Jason's transition and all that. So,
yeah,
it's more of a, like, they were talking, one of the things Chris Long was saying is, he's like, you know, with football, there's like really high highs and really low lows. Mm-hmm. And when you get out in real life, there's less of that. So you just have to figure out how to navigate the staying just sort of in the middle. But
I love that for them, though.
There was also on, if you go, because then, of course, I was scrolling Twitter after a while, I continued to cry. And the thing that I loved the most, I think it was the Players Tribune, which is an interesting outfit. I can't ever quite figure out what they really do. I want to say it was started by Jeter. It was where, like, Jock Peterson's We Are Those Motherfuckers letter, like, that's where that was first published. And so it's a outlet for players. It's a platform for players to, like, publish stuff a lot of times. But anyway, I think it was them that had released a video of home videos of the Kelce boys growing up.
Gosh.
And I mean,
I've seen stills, but I haven't seen video.
You've seen that one video of Travis where he's like dancing. Yeah. I know you've seen that one on the podcast. And it had a longer version of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love it.
It was great. Anyway.
I love it.
And then in our continuing things,
this
I
is
don't
my favorite new thing.
This was my original one that I started with, but it's like, I can always come back to it.
Yes.
And I was like, I say this with love. One of my very best friends, my friend Allison from, you know, birth.
Yeah.
She does this. And I tell her all the time, I don't get it. Obviously fake lashes.
Not just extensions
No,
or.
like I get, and I have zero lashes and they're blonde, the ones I do have. So, like, I fully understand, like, for a special occasion, like, placing some. Allison gets the kind that are on like a band
Oh, God.
and she glues them to her eyes every, and that, like, one will be flipping, the corner will be flapping in the wind. And I'm like, girl, your eyelashes are
You're
flapping.
flapping.
She doesn't care. And the other, like, when she's here, in fact, I think I have some old pictures, I'll have to find them. You can tell when Allison's been here because you find eyelashes
Eyelashes
in
everywhere.
the shower, on the bathroom counter. And that homegirl will leave her glue, like a little dot of black glue on the bathroom counter with her eyelashes. I'm like, do you think it looks good? Because if you like it and you're happy with it, then great. I do not understand it at all.
So I, the one thing I like about myself is my eyelashes. So I've never had to do that. They're very long and they're blonde. So if I don't wear mascara, you don't know they're there at all. But I do like right now they're hitting the back of my glasses. That's how long my eyelashes are. But unless you're gonna get like the good kind, like just those that they don't even look real.
And maybe that's a me and you thing, is that I definitely, and part of this is because, and this, you're gonna, like, don't say what you're inclined to say, but
No.
I'm the person who doesn't like to be bad at something. And so when I
Yes.
very early in childhood learned that I was not going to be the most beautiful person around, then I gave up on caring about it. See, don't, I knew you were gonna say that. I'm not saying, I'm like, legitimately, by
Well,
traditional standards,
correct. I feel the
right?
same
Like,
way about
I'm not,
myself.
so I
You
don't
and I
know
are not
if,
supermodels, but that doesn't mean we're not pretty.
and I didn't say I wasn't, but
Well,
I said I wasn't the most beautiful person around. So
same.
I don't know if it was a reaction, a protection for myself to say, okay, then I
Maybe.
don't care about it at all because I'm not going to win at it. So then I just don't care. Or, like, I don't know where it comes from, but I honestly could not care less.
That's an interesting, not that we were going to go down this road today, but that's a very interesting take on it. For me, it was always, I never did skincare routines and crap. I mean, because
I
I
do that now because
didn't
I'm
think
getting
I was
old.
worth it.
Well, yeah,
But the
that.
protection part, I like. I think that's something that I have not explored about myself.
Like, I'm not gonna get, like, when we first started, one of the things you were doing was doing your Invisalign to make your teeth better. And if that, like, I'm all for, like, if Allison thinks she looks beautiful with those eyelashes and that gives her confidence, then I'm happy for her to go around with the thing flapping in the wind. That's great. That's not gonna make me feel beautiful. And, like, I don't want to spend $25,000, which is what it would take to get my teeth fixed, thanks to my adventures in Chicago when I knocked them out. And I would rather go to Africa.
Well, I think for me, and mine was just whitening, it wasn't Invisalign, but for me, it was there are people in my life who have such yellow teeth that I don't want to become, that I'm terrified of becoming that.
Well, and it's like, speaking of Allison, she and I once
I
had,
haven't done it in forever. I probably need to do it again.
she had had some work done, and then, like, fast forward a little later, I had paid a lot of money to go see the original cast of Hamilton. And she said to me, I cannot believe you paid that much money to do that. And I said, well, you know what? I can't believe you paid as much money as you did to have the work done that you did, but that's her
Amen.
priority.
Amen.
And my priority is something different. And she has since quoted that several times. So she will listen. I will give her credit for that. And she doesn't listen to this podcast, so she'll never know unless
She'll never
Lee.
know. I agree with that completely. And for me, it's always been, I don't really care. I'm never going to be a beauty queen. So why would I spend that kind of time and effort? But I think that is more than the other part, which is you're not, I didn't think I was worth the time and effort. It's not just that I can't be the prettiest, it's that I wasn't worth the time and the effort to even try. And so that's very interesting. So thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. Listen, and
Look.
I'm being snarky about them because I do think they look ridiculous,
Right.
but I also think if they make you feel beautiful, then you should wear them. But
Yeah.
just know that your friends are talking about you on their podcast
Yes,
about them
especially
flat.
when they start coming off.
Like, they don't look natural. And I
Right.
think that's sort of like my whole thing is if I, to me,
At least,
I would
yeah.
be embarrassed if
Right.
anybody actually thought I was putting effort into it because obviously the effort has failed.
Now that's
So,
where I'm gonna put my finger back up.
by God, don't.
Ma'am.
I don't ever want to fail, and I've obviously failed if I'm putting effort into this.
Well, or like if you're gonna do it, at least try to make people think that they're real. Don't let them flap around in the
I
breeze.
guess that's what I don't like. And I did say obviously fake. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. But there are lots of them out there that are, there's no chance in hell
No.
those are real. Unless you
Oh my
glued some spiders
gosh.
to your face.
Oh, well.
Anyway,
Yeah. I
that
love
was a
it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
tangent. Okay, Katie, tell us about some food.
So, this week, I mentioned on here before, I'm like the room mother for Candler School of Theology, my little group of fellow, preaching seminarians. And so, we had class on Monday, which I don't normally have, but it's my little preaching group. We all have churches. And so, anyway, we get together and I make breakfast because I'm the room mother. I make snacks for class and I make breakfast for this class. And I made this week by request, by the way. And I looked back to make sure I hadn't done this one before because I thought maybe I had. So, over spring break, I may go through and make a list of things that we've done so we don't repeat because I'm starting to forget.
I may have had to go through our notes. Somebody's was asking for making recommendations, so I was
Oh,
like,
yeah.
"Where'd guys go?"
So I need to organize those better so we can easily look them up, I think. But so I have not done this one. So this is a great one, especially if you've got a crowd. So all you mamas with boys out there, they're easy. I have made them the day before and then put them in a like a aluminum pan and put them in the oven that morning. And they reheat really well. So, and they're always a big hit. They're sausage and egg breakfast cups. And the recipe's all on there. I will say too, in this class are two lovely ladies that do not eat meat. And so what I do, and it's real easy to adapt. So I just cook the sausage and let it cool. And then I mix the egg mixture together. And then the whole thing is you use muffin tins and press the Womp biscuits. Yes, I said Womp biscuits down in the muffin tin. And then you fill it with this and bake it. And so I do about six of them with just egg and cheese and the seasonings. And then I make the rest with the sausage. I usually add another egg or two if I do that, depending on how many I'm doing without the sausage. And this time there was enough of the sausage mixture that I made five or six of them without the muffin and kept them for myself to eat. So in the morning, I'll have the last two egg cups without the bread. So there's a thousand different ways to do it, but the thing that I think that makes it so good is the onion powder and the ground mustard. I put ground mustard in every egg dish I make. I don't know why, it just makes it better. And I can't tell you why.
Jane used to make a quiche back in the 80s before quiches were cool. It was a ham and cheese quiche and it had ground mustard in it.
Yeah. So good. So anytime I make eggs, I put ground mustard in it. It might just even be a little bit, but I just add it in there because Gogi had one too that was a great breakfast casserole that I'm looking at her picture. That's I don't know why. Gogi, that had ground mustard in it and
I
as
can't
well.
see you.
They can't see me and she can't respond, but
She might respond. You better look out.
look, if she starts responding, that's a whole nother podcast.
Listen, I'm here
Yeah.
for it. I have continued on my journey of trying to increase my protein intake. And so as I'm
This will
looking at
do it.
this, I'm thinking, You could also add some egg whites to the egg,
Yes.
possibly some cottage cheese,
Yes.
and blend all that up together really well, and that would give
Yes.
you some protein.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a really great basic recipe, and they're just so good. They don't use the Grands biscuit, like the big wide ones. They're the 10 count tubes, which are the smaller ones. And you use two of them. But you could half that and just do the egg mixture for part of them if people don't do bread. I mean, this is just a real good basic recipe that is just delicious and always a big hit.
One and you put in there one biscuit in each cup. That was gonna be my next.
Yeah.
Well, good. That's
The
fun.
other thing that I've been doing that I didn't put on here because we've talked about it before and it's not really a recipe. I did the other night, Mandy, and again, I'm telling you, this podcast should not be called Find Your People. It should be called Do What Mandy Tells You to Do. So I'm not eating a lot of bread, but I got a hankering the other day, and now I've done it twice, and I'm addicted to it. The naan from Trader Joe's, and I take the extra roast, slow roasted tomato, olive oil, and I spread it on there. And then I top it with the Trader Joe's Quattro Fromage, which is my favorite cheese blend that they have, and bake it. And it is so good.
Well, that's, I do burrata and the slow roasted tomatoes on mine.
So good.
So that naan is good.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And
Now,
yeah, I don't use that one, well, and I could use actual tomatoes, but I use those in my cheese grits. And you know, I'm a creature of habit, and that's my Saturday morning breakfast. But I always have all the extra olive oil, and I've used it to marinate chicken, and then I used it on the naan. It is delicious.
I'm glad. So
Do
glad.
what Mandy tells you. So that recipe will be in there. Enjoy. I'm thinking of Birch and like athletes that she has to feed. It would feed a crowd for breakfast in the morning, that kind of thing. They're a big hit. I have a feeling I'm going to be making them again for my next meeting with those girls because I just love them so much. So there
Very
we go.
versatile. I
Yeah.
like it. I like it.
Mandy, tell us, Mandy, you got favorites, and I'm so excited.
This is, it's such a good exercise to have to come up with these favorites,
Yeah.
especially when you've been in a season of life like we have lately, where
Yes.
not a
It's
whole lot of fun around.
there's not much to be joyful about.
So, what a good exercise. It's
It
like Oprah
is.
told us back in the day with Sarah Van Brathcall, whatever her name was, Simple Abundance, that we should start our gratitude journal.
Yeah.
Let's say we're just
That's
taking it
basically
straight.
what we do.
Right back to the 90s, y'all. When my grandmother died several years ago, I got her old console record player, and then it sat in my mom's garage for a year before I borrowed my dad's truck and drove it home, probably 2 years ago. And I just assumed I was gonna plug it in and play it. I don't know why I thought that was going to be the case with a console that is a gabillion years old. Probably because my grandmother was so fastidious that when I got it and opened it, she still had the original replacement needles.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, she took immaculate care of the daggone thing. But I think probably in the moving of it, the part that contains the needle, the
Yeah.
cartridge, I think it is called, had gotten torn loose, and so it was just sort of dangling. And so I was all excited. I plugged it in. I couldn't play any dang records.
Hate it when my needles dangle.
Listen. So it there it has sat, acting as my bar cart, for like 2 years.
Here for it.
And I've reached out on Facebook like once and been like, "Can somebody help me figure this out?" I've Googled, seen if I could, because I'm pretty handy. I figured I could probably replace it. The
Yeah.
best was the day that my buddy Wells, who is how old is Wells? 6 or 7. My friend Carla's little boy came over while Carla was getting a haircut, and when I tell y'all that we pulled out some duct tape and taped that sucker up, and he got like Wells, not we, Wells did all of this.
Right.
And we did, we got it playing for a minute and then it just stopped. So anyway, I finally just bit the bullet and bought, with the money my mama gave me for Christmas, I bought myself a turntable.
Love it.
And so part of what had happened when I got this console record player was it came with all of Nanny's records, which are one thing. But then my dad had a ton of vinyl and he let me go through his vinyl and pull out what I wanted out of his vinyl as well.
Mm.
So I have spent the past two Saturdays just going through, because I didn't know if it was all scratched up worth keeping or what. And so I've gone through the past two Saturdays and just listened to all these old records. And it's so fun, y'all.
I love it.
And I know everybody says like the quality's better or whatever. Like my ear is not that discerning. I don't know. But it is totally nostalgic to hear that crackle.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it reaches the end of the record, that psh, 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 you know, to the end of the record sound. And then a lot of the records that were in Nanny's console were my mom's in high school. Like the stack of little singles, little 45s is, you know, at least 4 inches thick. And they all have a little piece of tape with JM on it for Jane Moorhead.
Stop it.
I know. But of course, now I'm having a hard time getting rid of those because I'm like, because can we talk about the fact that you have to get up and turn the record over?
Yeah.
Like, forgot about that.
That's
right?
Like when we used to have the TVs where your parents would punch you in the back of the head and tell you to change the channel.
Right? To one of the other three channels.
No remotes.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's been fun. And it, like, there's an old record that, which this cracked me up. My dad, it was, I think it was the first or second year my dad was in Moultrie. So he was 28, maybe.
Yeah.
Had been a choir director for, I don't know, 3 years. And of course he had his choir do a recording, right?
As one does.
Nobody knows any more than a 28-year-old. High school choir director, let me assure you. And then his choice of music was cracking me up, like the hardest stuff you can imagine. And then the very last song on the record, they hum the whole time. They don't sing a word, they hum. It's all hummed. I called him. I was like, I know you don't even remember this, but let me tell you what your dumb 28-year-old ass did.
I've got to hear it.
It
at some
is
point
so
in life.
Funny.
I love it.
And there was like an all-state choir. Unfortunately, that record, it was the cover for the all-state choir performance in 1970, but the record wasn't in there. Dang it.
So my dad had a great vinyl collection, and this is why I'm so jealous of this. I'm so glad you're doing it. But dad's got wet, our basement flooded on Tennyson Trail. And so they're not really playable, but he still has them. So I've got some of them framed. But he let my brother go through without me being there. And so Charlie got all the good ones.
There you go, Charlie. You snooze, you lose.
I was like, you didn't even think to say, hey, let's get your sister over here.
Who's older?
Do this with you? Me.
You're the old. Yeah, of course he didn't think that. He's lived his whole life having to scrounge around.
I am not the golden child, I can tell you that. And that dad was like, no, we didn't think about it. I was like, I bet you didn't. And you let him have all the good ones. Well, there are a few left. Well, so my thing to you is frame that one. If it doesn't have a record in it, frame it.
Well, I say to you, you see that wall over my shoulder?
Yeah, there's a spot right there.
That's the entirety of my wall space.
I see a
and
spot.
And I'm not framing the 1970 GMEA record.
Because that would be hilarious.
That doesn't mean that much to me. I might frame Tennessee Ernie Ford Goes to Church.
See? Look at that.
That one I might frame.
Yeah.
Tennessee Ernie Ford Goes to Church.
I see it right there over your shoulder.
Oh, my God.
There's a spot waiting on it.
So that's been fun. And then I've like started making a list of all the records I've got to buy.
I love that. I've gotten a couple. I need a turntable. I got I bought them because I've got some of Dad's Allman Brothers, not the good ones, because Charlie obviously took those. And then I got a couple of Elvis ones, because, you know, Elvis.
You only got some Elvis too.
But what I say to you, you're out of town a lot. If you want Allman Brothers, nobody else outside of Macon cares about the Allman Brothers or anything like that. So you can usually find some really good Southern rock stuff outside of here. So definitely.
I did start a pile. There were two Peter, Paul, and Mary records. So I
Love
guess
it.
mom and dad both had that record. Well, I was telling mom what I was doing, and she said something about Dionne Warwick. She's like, "Is there a bunch of Dionne Warwick?" That's what I remember your daddy and I listening to Dionne Warwick when we were on dates in the living room. And then I was like, okay, well, now this is weird just listening to this Dionne Warwick record that my parents, who divorced after being married for 43 years, now that I know this is what they listen to while they're
Made
down
out to on the sofa.
the yellow sofa, which I could totally picture too, in
Gross.
my nanny's living room. Listen to it on this very record player.
Oh, there we go. I love it. And I love too what you put on the socials. I love the it's real not retro, but like mid-mod. It's really cool. Just the case of it and the craftsmanship. So I'm thrilled. I love it. I
Well, the
love
good
that
news
you've
is
done
my
that.
buddy Jimmy the Carpenter from the Crazy Estate Case. I
Yes.
said, Jimmy, do you think you could, I told him I have my grandmother's old console, and I said, do you think you could take it and turn it into like storage? Because I don't need like those big speakers in there
Right.
anymore. And I live in 580 square feet, so I need all the storage I can get. And he's like, yeah.
I
So
bet. Yeah. Just
he's hooked
make
up.
doors or whatever. Yeah, I love that idea.
And take out the old turntable and like so I can set this one down in
Be
it.
a great bar.
Yeah. So, well, it is a bar now. Don't tell Mamie. Speaking of grandmother's coming back to talk to us.
Well,
If she
mine
knew I
would
put the
be in the
bar on her
kitchen.
record player,
Mine
she
just turned it up and drank out of the bottle, honey.
listen, Tennessee Ernie Ford goes to church. We ain't drinking off the record player. Anyway.
I love
Uh,
it.
so yeah, so that's my new hobby is my vinyl. I'm
I
gonna be
love
one of
that
those
for you.
people. Some great old Robert Shaw. When I was a junior in high school, we got invited to the Georgia Music Educators Association conference, which is not the biggest deal. The biggest, oh, it was. No, I'm sorry, I take it back. We got invited to the American Choral Directors Association conference. It just happened to be in Savannah that year. And it's a big honor to get invited to sing at the ACDA regional. My
Of
sister did
course
it
it
her
is.
junior year. I did it my junior year. Anyway, one of the things we sang was the Liebeslieder waltzes, and I love them. It's a two-hand piano, from four-hand piano, and they're just so beautiful. And Dad had a Liebeslieder waltzes Robert Shaw recording.
Done.
I'm the only person in the world who would be excited about that. Maybe Tony Crosby, who, by the way, is now a Methodist minister,
There we go.
in the South Georgia Conference.
There we
But
go.
he was the other two hands that
He
played.
is. He plays all the music and stuff for the conferences every year.
You know Tony Crosby.
I know who he is because he's famous. If you said, "Do you know Katie Griffiths?" he'd say, "Who?"
He may not. Did he leave the conference? I think his church left the conference.
I don't
Well,
think
I hear
so.
that. Well, you should walk up to him and say, I hear you know Bill Caldwell.
We'll do it.
And watch his head explode.
I will do it.
Anyway, and then my other fun thing I'm doing is that I have remembered that I love to do is I'm planning a trip.
I love that.
I love to plan a trip. I almost love to plan a trip almost more than I love to take a trip. What is that about? Since we're psychoanalyzing ourselves.
So I, traveled for work once a month for about 5 years. And so I got real good. And I didn't really care too much about the actual work part, but it gave me such joy just to research places to eat
1,000%.
and
And the
things to
good news,
do.
like I don't even care so much about the things to do. It is the places to eat.
Yes. I love a menu more than just about anything on this planet. I love to read a menu and analyze a menu.
If I go somewhere and waste a meal, I get mad at myself.
Same. I'm going next week for spring break for a couple days to the mountains, and I'm having a real hard time deciding where exactly I'm going to go and like, what do I leave off and where do I go? And it's a thing, but I also love the heck out of doing that. So I get it.
Yeah. So my friend Kelly Weldon, who listens to the podcast.
Hey, Kelly.
Whenever I remind her to listen to the podcast, she called me, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. They live in Noonan. She's my baseball friend.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband and daughter, every year on spring break, they go on a daddy-daughter camping trip with a couple other daddies and daughters.
Love it.
And now since Wyatt, who's going to be Aubie, mark it down. Her son Wyatt's the one that's at Auburn.
Again, who's got 11 national championships. That's a big... bronze statue. That's a big freaking deal.
It's going to happen. Mark my words. Wyatt is going to accomplish it. And also, I couldn't figure out. I went back and looked at the notes, and I couldn't figure out which episode we talked about that in, because I was definitely going to send that one to Kelly. Might need you to help me with that. But anyway, so it's just Kelly and her middle son, Sanders, who is our baseball buddy. Like, we are undefeated when we've gone to see the Braves, and we've been to some big Braves games, and they're undefeated. So, she was like, the Braves are playing the White Sox the week of our spring break. Would you be interested in going to Chicago?
Love that. Love that. So I've not done White Sox, but I've done, what's the other one?
Wrigley Field.
I've done Wrigley Field. I've done behind, I'll send you the pictures. I've done behind home plate Wrigley Field.
Well, so Kelly used to work with Trustmark, and so she used to have a client up there, and so she's been to Wrigley Field twice, and really good seats. But we wanted to sit in the bleachers,
because
that's what you do at Wrigley Field, is you sit at the bleachers. So
yes,
we bought, so we're going to see the White Sox.
Love it.
At least one game. We may do two, we decided last night. And then the Cubs are playing the Dodgers on Friday. We bought bleacher seat tickets to go see the Cubs on Friday. So
I'll send you a restaurant. It's gonna take me a minute, but I'll find it. I'm gonna send you a restaurant suggestion.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah.
So Kelly and luckily, not only is Sanders my soulmate with the sports, although he likes to root against whatever team I'm rooting for, unless we're rooting for the same team.
I know that feeling.
That kid loves to eat. So that's how we, because he wasn't into Chicago for spring break. He was not excited about it. And we had to talk him into it. And we did so by talking about the dish pizza.
Yes.
So can't wait. That's going to be so fun.
So he's going with, I was going to say, he might not care much about history and architecture, but there's a great, Chicago's one of my favorite places.
The boat tour.
There's an architecture tour. Oak Park has Frank Lloyd Wright's offices. And my friend that I used to stay with, who's moved back down south, who's an artist, had her studio and her house in Oak Park. And so, you just walk around and bump into a Frank Lloyd Wright house out there. And so I did that whole tour. That's a great one if you've never done or if you care about that. It's a beautiful, beautiful tour.
Highly
recommend.
It's going to be fun. I've been to Wrigley Field, but it was to go to a Chris Stapleton Highwind concert. See a game. So.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, I lost my teeth in Chicago. First time I ever went to Chicago.
I remember.
Anyway, very excited about that. I love Chicago. I think the people are so nice.
Yes.
And it's easy to navigate. It's going to be fun. So anyway.
I can drive on Lakeshore Drive. Anybody can drive.
We're not renting a car.
On Lakeshore Drive.
we're not renting a car. But
Geico made me.
And then the last thing I had was my favorite of the week is Ann Patchett. I just freaking love Ann Patchett.
Yeah.
And most recently, the thing that has reminded me of how much I love Ann Patchett is I listened to her book, This is the Story of a Happy Marriage.
Okay.
And it's a collection of essays that she had published either before her first novel or and it was even after her first novel, just sort of because that's how she made her living before she had her first book deal, was she read, you know, was a freelancer.
I think I've got a book of hers sitting by my, I was going to put on my thing, but I think I've got a book sitting by my bed that I was given.
Have you never read any Ann Patchett? Oh, girl. So Ann owns Parnassus Bookstore in Nashville. She is married to Carl Van Devender, who was one of the, I can't remember if he was one of the original, but one of the old school doctors in my sister's clinic in Nashville, the Frist Clinic. And she is just delightful. Like, I've met her in person, and she's exactly what you would want her to be.
Yeah.
She opened Parnassus. She tells a story in this This is the Story of a Happy Marriage. One of the essays includes the story of starting Parnassus. She is just love Anne.
So when
only Anne could make me want to in one book, y'all. I wanted to be a writer. Like, I like signed up for like a online creative writing class. And also then made me want to be a nun. I thought, geez, could I be a nun? Because you live in a community, you like don't care about things, like, you know, I was like, yeah, yep. Maybe I'll become a nun. Leave it to Ann Patchett.
Leave it to Ann Patchett. So what I'm hearing over and over again in all of these episodes that we've done is that I think we need a trip, but mainly I need, because, you know, it's all about me. I need you. I've done Nashville one time. I need to do Nashville with Mandy Caldwell, because I think I would love that bookstore. I would love all the places you go eat. I would love a Vandy football or baseball game. I would love, like, all the things that you do are things that I think I would love to do. And we need to make that happen.
Absolutely, girl. Let's get Jane settled.
I gotta finish reading about Jesus.
I know.
My stress level is a little bit lower, but it's still there.
And it's funny too, you say that about Nashville, because people always ask me for recommendations about Nashville, and I always am like, I don't really know. It's like,
well,
I don't
like the books. Spells. Yeah.
I know that, you know, like, I am pretty good with restaurants.
Yeah. Which is, you know, all I care about. And bookstores. I would love a bookstore.
Parnassus is just the best.
I've got a friend that went to Vandy, and she used to own a clothing store there, and she knows a lot of the Nashville, like, music world, so she could give us some suggestions too of fun stuff that you might not have done too.
So anyway, that's all I got.
I love it.
Maybe I could be a creative writing nun.
Look,
can you do that?
Yeah, you could write devotions.
I just wouldn't be able to keep my salary if I became a bestseller.
Correct.
Because I will have taken a vow of poverty.
Correct. And you'd have to give up all those records, I think.
Really?
I mean, you give up all your worldly possessions.
Oh. But you can. They talked.
You could give it to the nunnery, and they could own it, and you could enjoy it while you're there.
Part of why I love that book so much is, like, she talks about there was an order of nuns, and their convent was, like, in Hillsborough Village. It was right next door to where my sister lived all during nursing school. And
yeah.
I totally remember when they closed it and turned it into apartments. So anyway, that's part of why I love all the things she writes, because I know all about it.
You recognize it. Yeah, I love that.
She talks about Carl, and it just cracks me up, because he's... he's such a nice guy. And like he, when he found out Will was rowing, he took Will and some buddies out on his boat, which is one of those cool old wooden boats.
I love it.
Like, just so nice.
What a great guy.
Anyway.
I love that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, like, so I list her latest book, Tom Ford Lake, I think was the name of it. That may not be it.
Are they all, like, compilations or are they novels?
No, she's done, I think she has one other nonfiction, which is the story about her best friend. And I've got that one on hold with Libby, but I have not gotten it yet. My friend Elizabeth, who's also a podcast listener,
Hey, Elizabeth.
Like, cannot wait for you to read that so that we can talk about it. Still on hold with Libby. It's coming. But no, she mostly writes fiction. That's what I can't remember the name. Tim Ford Lake is a lake in Nashville. So I feel sure that Tom Ford Lake is not the name of her most
Right. He's a
anyway,
designer.
It was narrated. Yeah. It was narrated by Meryl. And the whole time I was listening to it, I was like, oh, this is going to be such a good movie.
I know, right? Well, I'm definitely adding her to my list. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So we are doing a little bit early this week because you are going up to Nash, Vegas.
I am.
To see Jane. Any
discharge tomorrow, so we're going to get her all settled.
Love it. Anything else you have going on until we meet again?
No, that'll be it. Listen, that'll be a full-time job.
That'll be enough. That'll be enough.
Jane's ready to bust out of that joint.
Lord. I bet she is. I have spring break next week. So I am actually going to spend the first part of the week, which I love these girls, but I wanted to get out of town. And instead, I'm going back to Macon for a couple of days. But we've got a rental. And today they were like, you want to go to XYZ to have, you know, a beer and whatever? And I was like, no, I do. I have spent enough time in Macon this semester. I don't even want to be there. Can we just sit in our pajamas? I will cook for you.
There you go.
My female preacher group. Okay. So it'll be a bunch of women ministers, which I'm so excited about. But we were supposed to be up in the mountains in Tennessee. But then again, it was, well, we didn't think you'd mind.
There you go. Fra-la-la.
Fra-la-la. But the end of the week, so I'm going to take a day to flip. I'm going to leave Macon, come back here and repack, and then the next day go to the mountains. And I've got some reservations up there in Highlands.
Good.
And a much more affordable place, so I can't wait to check it out and tell y'all about it. And all the places I went to eat. So I'll do a full rundown of my Highlands adventure. And it's going to be warmer, and I don't want to hibernate the whole time like I did last time I was there in Casher. So I'm going to get out and go shopping.
Good. It'll be fun.
Yes, it will. So that's what spring break is going to be for me. I'll also be writing things like Good Friday sermons. So it won't be all play. It'll be some work.
We went, my friend Lane and I went out to dinner last week, and the server said something to the couple next to us about how, you know, this week was going to be the kickoff. And they were like, is it really that much different? Yes, my friends, it is really that much different, as evidenced by the guy with his guitar playing out, you know, Monday afternoon starting at 11.
Yeah.
Monday morning.
I can tell everybody's on spring break here, or some people are anyway, because it only took me like 58 minutes to get into Candler today instead of the hour and 15.
Yeah, apparently a lot of the private schools are off this week, which I'm interested to see how it affects. Because I was really excited to be out of town on Hell Week, which is what we refer to Atlanta Week as around here. But I feel like some of them are early this week, so.
Yeah, there was definitely a difference today when I went into school. So I was like, oh, less traffic.
Fra-la-la.
Fra-la-la. All right, friends. Well, Birch, we love you. We hadn't said, well, I did say your name. Make those muffin cups for the boys. But we love you, Birch. And Brooker, look, Brooker, it's about time for you to come down south and see us. I'm just saying.
I hope you've taken that garland down.
Oh, my sweet baby Jesus. Please have taken that garland. Don't put eggs in it and call it an Easter garland either. I will be very upset with you, Brooker.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all. We love y'all.